And Latin, funnily enough, is a language that can really grip you when you first start it. And a great deal of English is Latin. And if you know Latin, you can almost read Portuguese, because it's about 80% Latin. I think you don't sort of fall in love with Latin, but Latin has a lot of things going for it. There's a lot of Latin still around us. And English has, as I say, a lot of Latin in it. And to understand English syntax and grammar, Latin is a perfect lead in. You know, you can pick it up very easily. And with the way language is in some ways being destroyed, it's one way of keeping languages alive.
And these letters, you're saying they come from the latter part of the 6th century.
Yeah.
So they were copied. These various versions of Gregory's letters, yes.
But these ones are completely different from all the other manuscripts in their illumination, the colours that have been put into the capital letters. No other manuscripts that I've looked, and I've looked at several hundred manuscripts, have these capital letters coloured. So that's quite unique.
How do you explain that?
Well, I think this was actually copied by the abbot, because he's the only person that would allow the scribe to use colour, and he also allowed the scribe to use a mixture of letters. And one of the odd things about this is that you get two or three different types of letters appearing on the same page, which are completely different periods, one from the 2nd century, one from the 6th century. And no other manuscript does that. So it's got two really unique qualities, the Melbourne manuscript. And this is something which I think a lot of scholars would be interested in, because, and they're also very nice to look at if you've seen the colours, they're a bit faded. And what happened was in the 12th century, some musicians wanted to use some proper covers for their musical scores. And they decided to use some loose folios, which were coming from a manuscript of a very popular book, which had probably been used by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of monks over the centuries and was beginning to disintegrate. And these pages were pulled out, these folios, and they're little batches. You can see the batches. And they used these to wrap around their music. And the music was kept in holes outside a cathedral. And the musicians were writing, this is the 16th century, which is still quite early for music, were writing mainly church music, but not entirely. There are some love songs and things too. And I've actually looked at these earliest musical collections in the Bodleian in London. And it's very interesting to see the music. And it's very interesting element in that on the music.
But what you've done is work on the letters that were used in the form of loose folios. By that you mean sheets.
Sheets, the folios.
To cover the music books.
The folios, yeah.
And
That's why some are damaged at the top, in particular because the top would be sticking out, and you can see the sort of damage at the top.
Yes. So just to explain,
you see these totally different letters. You can see these totally different letters. The one on the left is a square capital, and it's just like a big capital red P. The one on the right looks a bit like a tree, you know, with squiggles and things coming out of it and little tails, and they're side by side.
Listening to you, I hear all sorts of different kinds of language. You have a particular lexicon for this sort of work, don't you?
There are technical language, yeah.
It's very interesting. You use the term capital, but you also have words to describe the difference between these letters.
Well, the different centuries, the different type of capitals, and you can see there are two different Qs. See, there's like a modern Q with a bit of a tail, and look at that Q with the filigree red inside the blue. Totally different, and yet they're together, and that doesn't appear in any other manuscript. In fact, in manuscripts of letters and history and the like, they did not use colour at all.
Because colour, of course, was also expensive.
Very expensive, very expensive. It's coming from the East. And to get the reds and the blues, would cost a lot of money. And it's very interesting how much different this is from every other manuscript. Well, yeah. Why is that? You know, I can't work out. If only we had the whole manuscript, it would be a wonderful manuscript. But we only have these because of the musicians.
Gregory loved reading, didn't he? He recommended reading very strongly.
Reading, yes. There weren't many sort of novels and things in those days, but there were a lot of works you could read, and he read all the fathers of the church, as it were, who were the great experts in the past. He knew the whole of the New Testament off by heart, and I think he knew most of the Old Testament off by heart, because in those days you tended to learn what you were reading. You absorbed it and remembered it.
The thing about Gregory's love of reading, though, it's his emphasis on the fact that reading furnishes the mind, that it's a resource there, and he's recommending it to various clerics and bishops, isn't he, who he has rather disciplinary things to say to.
Yes, he advised bishops that are obsessed with banqueting to get back to reading the texts, the Holy Writ, as it were, the Holy Bible and the New Testament and the Old Testament, and the great works about them that he'd written and that many, many other great scholars had written.